What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome back to the 100 After Show. Today, we are going to be talking about Season 5, Episode 10, The Warrior's Will. Octavia's burning some food, Clark is freeing all the little wormies, and Vincent is eating good. We'll talk all this and more, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
We are the misfits.
Oh, yes.
We
this is like,
we are
going on a bug right now. Fight, fight, fight.
Warrior by
Kesha, which I'm like, I swear Kesha has a song called Warrior, and everyone was like, this is just not true. But guess who was right?
Oh, you were right.
It was me, Taylor Gates. We're down one man tonight, but we're still going to have a great panel full of energy. And I'm joined by two lovely ladies.
Woo! Sarai.
Yeah.
I guess. It's been so long since I got a compliment. I just have to soak in it for a second.
Hey, it's me, Cherry. How y'all doing?
Yes. So
we're one crew.
We are one crew. So, like I said, we're going to have a great show tonight. Make sure to stick around to the end because we have our very special segment, Boss Move of the Week, which honestly has become one of my favorite parts of all of our shows. I think it's always fun to debate that and see what you guys think was the most boss. We also have some really, really awesome news, and we're going to give some fan shout-outs. So you guys are not going to want to miss that. What was your guys' overall thoughts about this episode before we dive in?
Yeah. Well, I would say I liked it, but I really enjoyed this one because it was so many twists and turns. Mm-hmm. And some things made me just go, ah! You know, I guess we'll get more into it. But Octavia, she's changing, man. She's changing. I like it.
She's cracking up.
Well, I don't like it, but...
And I'm really disheartened. But this episode is definitely leading up to the big fight, which I assume is probably going to be the season finale. I don't know. But it definitely was putting all the eggs in a row, getting ready, and forcing everybody to be on the chessboard.
For sure. Oh. I agree with that. And I think it's interesting to see Maddie kind of embrace her newfound flame keeper role. That's been really interesting in this episode because it was kind of her and Clark isolated for the most part again. And it kind of reminds us, you know, early in the season when it was just those two living on Earth before things literally came crashing down.
Their own little Eden.
Yes. Yeah, the kid is a natural, man. She's got it. She's got the juice. She's a lot of fun. She's confident, yeah.
I agree. Well, let's start off by talking about McCreary, because he is now taking power from Dioza and has his own little reign of terror going on. And so he primarily deals with Abby in this episode. And Abby's like, you know what? It's great that you're in power, but you're drowning. Like, your lung is completely filling up. And Abby's pretty done. She's just like, just kill me. Put us both out of our misery. What did you guys think about that? She's like at really the end of her rope.
I had no idea she was that far gone. I had no idea she was that much into the drugs until you see her, you know, twitching and everything. Like, I was waiting all season for the twitch. I ain't gonna lie. I was waiting all season to hit her one scratch on the neck or something, you know, and finally they gave it to us. So
yeah. The makeup artist did a really good job to make her look like she is sick. And Abby is just at the end of her rope. You're right. And the only person she can rely on right now is Vincent. And I love Vincent, but...
we got to see him in his element tonight, for sure.
No wonder everybody was all leery.
Yeah.
Chomp.
Well, McCreary says, look, I'm not going to kill you, but we're going to have a little contest. Because either you're going to cure me and then you can have your precious pills, or I'll just deprive you of them until you pretty much crack. And
he's
kind of banking on the fact that she's going to be so desperate for them that she's going to cure him. And she actually remains pretty strong, like, throughout the whole thing and not curing him. Were you guys surprised, impressed? What were your reactions on that?
Strongish, but in the back of her mind, she was like, I'm going to ask Vincent to get me some pills. So I don't know what had happened if she couldn't get the pills. But I was surprised she didn't immediately just give in. Mm-hmm. But definitely she knows that if a healthy McCreary is a McCreary, she doesn't want anywhere near her daughter.
Yeah.
And I think that's her big motivation right now.
I'm shocked that she finally chose something over herself and the pills. Mm-hmm. Because in the other episodes, it's been pills over everyone, over the love of her life, Kane, over Raven, who's, you know, they've been through different things together. And now she's picking up morals because she doesn't want to heal McQuarrie. I thought that was interesting.
She's still choosing the pills. She's just not taking the pills from McQuarrie. She's taking the pills from Vincent, who goodness only knows how he got
that. That's very true. Let's break down the scene with her, between her and him, because that was a fun one to watch, though. I agree with you, Cherry. I mean, Vincent's a crazy character, and you can't just introduce a cannibal and not have him eat someone eventually. Like, that just doesn't seem fair. How'd you guys feel watching that?
I was stunned how they just stood there. Like, you see someone come, if their weapon is teeth, how do someone kill you with their teeth? You know what I mean? Like, at that point, you should dodge Boba Weave or something.
He's big.
But they're all sick from him. He just kind of just bites him. Yeah, but they all have the lung disease. I don't think they're quite... He's at his healthiness right now. Yeah. So, you know, his lungs are cute.
Yeah.
He's been craving, because he's been looking at everybody all season like, you look like, I could put some barbecue sauce on you, a little salt, a little pepper.
Yeah. So you're in Vincent's hand.
I know Vincent.
You know what Vincent wants. I know Vincent,
yeah. He wants to chomp on
you
somebody.
You deserve to die, though. If someone kills you by biting you on the neck, and you see him bite the person in front of you, and you stand in line and wait to get bitten, I'm sorry. I think at that point you deserve to get bitten at that point.
Yeah, I didn't. That's, I mean, I would have tried to at least crawl away. I'm not saying I'd have helped my friend. Mm-hmm. Everyone like, me, self-preservation.
What
me.
A terrible way to die, though. Like, you can see the people on the ground. They're like, please just end it. Please just end it. And
No one would pick that as a superpower.
No
one would pick that as a superpower. If I asked you guys, what would your superpower be? You would never say, I want to have monster teeth to bite people.
You're
like,
such
that would
a
never...
Vincent hater.
But I mean,
there's a superpower, though. Oh. There's a superhero character that, well, he's a villain, that has that power.
What, really?
And nobody likes him, of course. He's I can't remember what he's got, like metal jaws. He's quite unpleasant.
But he eats people.
He bites people. I'm really enjoying Abby and Vincent's friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship.
Friendship. He likes her. I don't think he wants to
eat
her.
He actually does like her, which I think is really funny.
That's cute.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my friend. And she's like, yeah, I need my pills.
Mm-hmm. I'll get you your pills, girl. Mm-hmm. And it's changed. I'm just going to eat these two people, so, you know, hey, I'll clean up.
Yeah, and I like how he's polite, kind of, he's like, you know, look away, like, this is about to get really messy, you know? I was like, yeah. Oh, okay.
And then she eventually does take the pills, and she takes a whole bunch of them, and I'm a little worried about her future. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if she took a bunch of them, or if maybe she just took one or two. Mm. I know,
well,
like, it was
all
spilled
empty
out
at the end. Oh, spilled.
But
they
were all spilled.
Spilled,
like,
I guess.
Pills on the end. Mm. And I saw, like, when she was biting everybody, she sort of collapsed on the ground. Mm. I almost think maybe she had a little bit of a seizure.
Mm.
And I'm wondering if maybe he tried to give her some pills, but he didn't know how many. Because she's been taking them for so long. I'm sure she has a
high tolerance.
Yeah, she needs
I don't know. I don't do drugs. Right. Don't do drugs, kids.
Sure.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah, the pills was everywhere. I think she overdosed. I think she took them. Because she was scooping them up a little bit, and she took one, and she was shaking with that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the thing was empty. So I think she may have just overindulged.
Yeah. I have a feeling she'll be okay, though. Yeah, I don't think she'll die this way. Because when people die in the show, it's usually a lot more, like, grotesque and, like, really...
Dramatic.
Yeah, so I think that if she goes,
death
it'll
by
be...
overdose, that'll be horrible.
I don't think it won't happen on the 100.
She'll definitely
that's
have
how
to say
roll.
Goodbye to Clark, so there's no way they'd let her die.
Yeah, that's true. That would be so tragic.
I feel like Clark has forgotten about her mom. She's so busy on Maddie, her child, which she finally calls her in the episode, that she forgets that there's other people worth saving, like Bellamy and Indra and all that.
Yeah, well, let's go into talking about Clark's storyline then. So, at the beginning of the episode, she's trying to take the flame out of Maddie, which I'm not exactly sure how you do that when
usually,
she's, like, asleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you take it out, you cut it in the back of her neck, but she's
going
to notice.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to notice this. But Maddie is pretty firm in her ways, and she's like, no, not gonna happen. She wants to run back to Polis, save all of her people. I like her assuming this commander role. I've missed having a commander in the show. Like,
yes.
I think that's such a cool and fun dynamic and fun character. And so I'm glad that they've brought that back and just kind of dropped that whole thing. And Maddie's like talking some truth to Clark. She's like, you're willing to let Bellamy and Indra and Gaia die, kind of like how you were saying. Yeah. Like, she's so focused on Maddie her. That she's kind of not allowing herself to think about anyone else right now. And Maddie's like, well, commanders don't just run away. Like, she's saying all this stuff. What'd you guys think about that interaction?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked that she's slowly, her mind is integrating the old mm-hmm. commanders, mm-hmm. making her a more mature person, because I think she's like 12 or something. Mm-hmm. And I totally like her pushback against Clark, because Clark is trying to say that I'm doing this for your good, but she reminds her I'm the commander and I'm the commander over everyone. So I really enjoy that interplay and how Clark is having to sort of evaluate her selfishness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I never team Clark.
So
wait, are you team Clark now?
Never.
Oh, okay.
We just have to check every week.
Yeah, every now and then. You never know when she's going to jump the fence.
See, I like Clark, honestly. Like, I think that she's a complex character. I think that she's dynamic, has gone through a lot of changes. And I don't fault her for wanting to take care of Maddie because, I mean, kind of like we said last week, like, she sees herself as a parent now, and that's mm-hmm. kind of just what you do when you're a parent. You kind of sacrifice everything, and the whole world kind of is tunnel visioned, you know, so you can protect your child. But I do like that Maddie is challenging her because she does need someone to kind of give her this other side. So I like how they did kind of go toe-to-toe in this episode especially.
I feel like that's the whole rhythm of the show, though. Mm-hmm. There's so many people with potential to be a dictator, and then there's always someone nearby with, like, a voice of reason. Mm-hmm. Clark, I guess, now has Maddie. But Maddie, the way she's kind of instinctually just starting off out the gates, I feel like she's gonna do well as a commander.
Yeah,
like, she's just already have wisdom from past people. She's having, like, seen people get burnt alive, and that will usually kill, like, a normal kid, but she's gone with the flow. So
sure. So they finally kind of have a compromise, and Clark's like, I'm gonna go warn Dioza about Octavia, and then it's pretty much and she's like, and it's pretty much Octavia's choice whether she's gonna march and, you know, die, or if she's going to stay back there and try to get peace and surrender and all of that. And then she does something that nobody on this panel at least understood. She has the worms in the van, and instead of just setting them next to the van, she throws them, and we hear a glass break, mm-hmm. and the worms are free now.
Spread worms.
Spread
and kill everyone on Earth.
Why?
Like, that's what that meant to
me. Maybe I'm missing something huge, but I just feel like that was so impulsive and just, like, such a stupid oversight.
But she does do impulsive things mm-hmm. sometimes.
Yeah, but this is, like, such a dumb one. Like, it's not even
natural,
It's not even, like, that the worms are gonna, I don't know. I just don't get it.
Well, it said that the worms will die in a certain atmosphere. So maybe she's thinking that once it's airborne, it will immediately die.
But they're in it looks like they're in a sandishy area
where she first got it from. True.
So I don't think that is true. And she's the one, I think it was either her or Bellamy that said, you don't know that. You think, right. You haven't tested.
Yeah. It just seemed super careless, because if you have this, like, lethal environmental weapon, I don't know why you'd be handling it all willy-nilly. Like, you need to be careful.
It, burn it, something.
Whatever.
Yeah. She could have done that, the bare minimum.
Yeah. And it was tons of
and
jars,
too. Just left them in the container
and set
the
them on the ground.
Or burned them. She probably should have burned them, because somebody would have found them and been like, what's this? Oh, mm-hmm. We can eat these worms. Ooh. Or protein.
Yum.
Oh, you sound like you're doing a commercial. What is this? We can eat these.
The infomercial
worms
for worms.
You know.
Love it. Yeah.
You do eat worms.
So, didn't really understand that. I'm sure that's going to back to bite. Literally bite all of them.
Bite them all in the wee-hives.
And so, like we kind of mentioned earlier, Maddie's having these memory nightmare flashback things of Becca when they were all burning her alive when she was trying to save someone. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that might have some meaning later down the line, or if those memories will keep coming into play. I feel like they will. I don't think they just necessarily introduce them and not have those kind of tie in more to the storyline.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so, and I think it's sort of letting us know more about the background of the commanders, because we've never really seen mm-hmm. how they started, other than the original commander when they found the mm-hmm. What do you call it? Shippy thing or whatever.
That's exactly the technical term. Yes.
But we haven't really seen what they see usually. Like, we know that they get their memories, But I always vaguely assumed it was sort of like a download where it would just come up, not about them having these nightmares and remembering it that way. But then again, in the other seasons, some of the kids do die after they get it because they're
overwhelmed.
Minds aren't able to compute it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if she has seen. Okay, this is kind of derogatory, but I wonder if she's seen through. You know, Clark. Well, Clark was saying, "Well, have you seen her yet?" Mm-hmm. I wonder if she's seen them like together. You know what I mean? Like she had those moments, like feeling the love for Clark as a partner as well as a daughter.
Because, I'm sure that she's seen the way that they at least cared for each other, just because she was so knowing when she said that. She's like, "I know, you know, you wanted to ask about her," and I feel like that was very alluded to, that she definitely knows that they had something. And I always like it when they mention Lexa because I miss her. Because
she could feel, she said she can feel Becca burning, so I wonder if she can feel how Lexa feels for Clark.
I'm sure that
love, you know.
Definitely.
That's got to be complicated.
Yeah.
And also how Lexa and Clark were fighting for a while, and to show how Clark can be just as ruthless as any other leader when it comes to their people. So that would be interesting as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I kind of mentioned this last week, but I like that they kind of reiterated it this week about how Maddie's like, or Clark knows. Wow, sorry. Clark's feelings are so complicated towards this because she knows that all the commanders have died pretty badly, pretty ruthlessly, and she just doesn't want that to happen to Maddie, which is like a pretty logical reaction, in my opinion.
She's probably still kind of getting over Lexus, too, you know?
For sure.
So she's still like feeling like, ugh. You know, like another, I have to watch another commander die.
Yep.
Possibly in my arms.
Ugh. Yes. Yeah. No, so nobody wants that.
So Maddie and Clark finally make it sort of right outside the valley in that sort of area. And they know that Dio's is going to know that her eye in the sky isn't working right away. And so Maddie suggests that they get some leverage somehow so Dio's doesn't just, you know, off them right then and there, because that's what Bellamy did early in their season to save them, which I thought was very smart of her. Maddie's brilliant, you guys.
Team Maddie.
For real.
Commanders.
Wait, are you still O?
Team Commander. Octavia, I'm worried about her.
Okay, yes, we'll get into that. We have a whole section on Octavia. But let's just talk a little bit about what happened at the end with Maddie and Clark. So they saw McCreary executing all the defectors, and Maddie's like, "These are my people. Like, I gotta step in. I gotta do something." So they eventually kind of step in somewhat. Everyone's pretty much dead by then.
Yes.
But the guy who's digging the grave, I thought that was so funny. The guy was digging the grave, and Maddie is just, boom, hits him right in the face. And Clark's like, "Yo, what was that
she's
for?"
Like,
and
she's his like, throat.
"Yeah." And she's like, "Well, I know they would hear the gunshot." I was like, "That's a savage statement."
But no lies detected.
No lies detected.
She was birthed in nature during the time when like no one else was alive, and she's a kid that made it her own. So she has definitely has some like killer instincts
for sure. Yeah. Literally killer instincts.
And of course, it totally fills in with my belief that since Dio's and McCreary were fighting anyway, eventually one of them would have been the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And Dio's, yes, you could have made a commune with her and everyone get along and kind of like share the Shallow Valley, but McCreary is not going to want to share. He's going to kill everyone that he considers his enemy, and he considers a lot of people his enemy.
Yeah, anyone who's breathing. Him and Octavia should just have a baby, and they just have a little...
I hate baby.
Just kill nations together.
Honestly. Happily ever after.
Killing everybody.
Yeah, he was just killing people, just not even flinching.
You don't care.
But the only time he's flinched so far in this series is when he heard that he has a kid on the way.
Yep.
Which blows my mind.
Yeah, that's his
Besides
one
that, everyone could die.
It's Achilles' heel, man.
But not his daughter.
Yep.
Yes. They'll keep Dio's alive as a little baby maker. And then when she has a baby...
The Handmaid's Tale, y'all.
Yeah, right.
One other thing I just want to talk about briefly in that scene was, I liked when Maddie told Clark that her mom is also a defector, and she kind of reminded her, like, there's more skin in this game for you, too. It's not just my people. Like, it's your mom, too. So I like that she kind of brought that up and reminded her that there's more people out there than just her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because Clark loves her mom. And you know what?
Yeah, she does.
You guys love us, right? That's right. Tell us about how they can show their love for us.
We love you back. Hey there, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about our past pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did it in our comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes! Woo! Nailed it. I know that everyone on this panel is on other after shows, I believe.
Of course. Yeah.
So, you guys, subscribe and you'll see our faces pop up everywhere. All right, it's time to get to the main event. Let's talk about Octavia and One Crew and all of those shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
So Miller says that the supposed commander is starting to complicate things, and half the people don't want to march. Half seems sort of like a big number to me. Did that seem big to you too?
That's a big number. That's a big people to say, I'm wanting to follow the commander versus you. But it also makes sense because the crews that came together, some were more tied in than others.
Yeah.
Mm. And I wonder if the people were falling, right? I suspect might be a lot of the Sky Crew people.
Yeah.
I think it's a big number because when she was in the desert and she had the worms and people were literally blocking her body to save her life, that all of a sudden, just because there's word that some little girl's going around with a chip, then now they're going to follow, you know, her as a new commander as opposed to Blood Raina. I thought it was high.
Yeah,
I
guess.
I think it maybe about 10%.
That's what I'm saying. It felt like high, but I feel like maybe the fact that there is this new commander now is like awakening the sort of spiritual side that maybe kind of they either have suppressed or kind of fell away during, you know, their time in the bunker. So I think that's interesting. I was like, ooh, that's like pretty split 50-50 then, which, I don't know, I just thought that was a little stat.
Some of the people didn't come out of the bunker because they were scared. And I think some people do not want to have the war.
Yeah, for sure.
But they still don't have enough food. So it's sort of like, I don't want to have the war, but there's not enough food. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, Miller just wants to straight up fight with or without, you know, these people. But one of Octavia's little friends, who I'm not even sure her name.
Who are you?
Her little
cast
friend.
Cast member 5-5. Like,
yeah.
Who are you?
Okay, you got a big role real fast.
She's Sangeeta.
Okay.
And I think she was on the council or something.
Cool. Well, Sangeeta.
She's bumped up, boy.
She really rolls those ranks fast.
Yeah.
But her idea is to scare people into fighting, a.k.a. make Indra, Gaia, and Bellamy fight for their lives in that little Colosseum type thing. I don't even know what to call it. The pits. The pits. And so Octavia goes to Indra, who's praying to the commander spirit. And they have a little chat, which, to no one's surprise, was one of my favorite parts of the episode. Because I just love them so much. And Octavia's like, listen, the day that you asked me to be your second was the best day of my life.
Aww.
Which I thought was so pure.
That was sweet.
I'm just kind of surprised that she said that, to be honest with you, though. Were you guys, like, surprised that she even said anything complimentary towards her?
She does love her. Yeah. She's, like, her mom on the ground.
I think Octavia was speaking. I'm really starting to believe that there's two people. There's Blood Raina and there's Octavia.
That's what Indra was saying, too.
And when she has those moments of where she's crying or she's saying things like that or she touches out or reaches out to Bellamy, obviously Octavia. But Blood Raina, when she cuts herself and does the whole dramatic blood, I don't know what that is, type of moment or whatever, Blood Raina moment, then definitely no.
Yes.
Octavia is dead at that moment.
Yeah, she came to her with her guard a little bit down, and I think that Indra kind of was trying to play on that, but in an earnest way. I feel like she was speaking honestly because she said, I gave you nothing. That strength was already there.
Oh,
so she compliments Octavia back. It's like there's that little piece of hope. Like, you can tell even within those two lines that, like, maybe there's something to still hold on to, but I don't know.
You have to think about it. Octavia is to Indra the same thing that Maddie is to Clark.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, sometimes your kids go astray. I don't have any children, but yeah. I'm pretty sure I disappointed my parents at some point. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It just happens.
I mean, they do have a not only love for each other, but respect. Mm-hmm. And she's been her second in command for the longest. At first, she was her second in command, then it reversed. Mm-hmm. And that has to create, like, some ties, especially since she's always been sort of... She had to fight for her approval, and she had to work so hard for it. Mm-hmm. And so when she does get approval for her, I know Octavia, it just sort of throws her back to when she was first the little girl from and under floorboards. The floorboards.
She hasn't got over that yet. She's still in that mentality. Yeah. You know?
Forever. That'd be traumatizing.
Indra, because Indra was her first real people, the first person that actually kind of accepted her and gave her a role. She did. She did make her. And so Octavia doesn't want to see her die, and she's like, listen, give me another option. And Indra said there isn't one. Like, either you kind of surrender and don't go through with this, or you watch all four of us fight. But that's it. That's all that's going to happen. So Octavia goes to Monty and basically begs him to tell Bellamy how to survive, because she still does not want him to die, you know, regardless of all of the stuff. And Monty is, like, sticking to his guns. He's like, well, just don't go through with it then. Duh.
Yeah. Monty has some coolness this episode, right? Monty, I don't know what happened. That letter he read from Jasper has got him on a 10 in confidence. He's like, you know, I'm my own man. Maybe it's a little nook he's getting, too, from old girl and his bunker. Every time we see him, he's under some sheets. So maybe he's feeling like a man all of a sudden, you know. But he is definitely stepping up, you know what I mean? Yes.
I think being up in the ship for a long time is really... forced him to change his mindset, and he does not think violence is the answer, especially for that one piece of Eden on the entire planet of Earth. And he's willing to fight for humanity because there's so few humans that they know of right now. So I commend him for his standing up to Octavia. It pissed her off.
Oh, yeah. He was bold. Like, he even called her dictator to her face. I was like, going here? Yeah.
Just going there. Well, rest in peace, Monty. I already have my hashtag ready. I was ready to tweet it out. Rest in peace, Monty. You know what I mean? And then he comes in, you know, I don't know I don't want to skip ahead of you, but he comes in with the flower.
Yeah.
And he just stops the pit. I don't know if that happens often, but I have a feeling that doesn't happen often.
That does not happen.
I can't imagine. And
he
didn't get shot.
He came in, which is a plant. Like, I would think he would have gotten... shot at on point.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that, but he tries to tell Octavia about his plan, and he's like, please just follow through. Like, look, there's all of this algae. We can make it work on this topsoil. There's even a little apple blossom. Like, we can make all of this not that disgusting food. It's gonna be great. Which, honestly, I feel like the food they eat is probably what people drink in Los Angeles with the green juice and stuff. Like, this feels like every time they go to the hydro farm, I'm like, so this is pressed juicery? Yeah. Like, I feel like it's the same thing. But he's like, please do not go through this violence. Octavia's not having it. Super salty that Monty won't help her. I love the dig that she, like, kind of got out to when she sees Monty and Harper together. She's like, must be nice in the garden playing Adam and Eve.
I'm telling you, boy.
Monty, I loved that.
It's that Eve.
Little quote.
That Eve alone time. I'll leave it there. Yes.
That quote was so funny, I thought.
Excuse me.
And Octavia also has a good line. I say this every week, but there's just some good quotes. And she's
some really good lines.
The farmers won't say the world, Monty, the warriors will. Yes, which, that's our title too. And she makes a good point, though, because she's like, you don't understand what we've gone through because you were on the ship the whole time.
Yes.
Which, that was a good point, because even though it's only been a couple episodes back, sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, like, he was in the bunker. No, he wasn't. He was in the ship for all of the years. So I like that they replanted that nugget in my mind.
Yeah, they were in the bunker, and I think people forget, like, they didn't know if they were ever going to be able to be dug out of the bunker, and they were running out of food and running out of resources. So that would have been traumatizing itself with no natural light or anything. That'd be horrible. But I have to say, I want to give a shout out to Julie Benson, Shauna Benson, Cass Morgan, and Jason Rothenberg for writing this episode. It was really, really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
The lines that they had in this episode were really good.
I agree. They're very memorable. I wrote a bunch of them down, like, word for word. And so Octavia decides that she's just going to suck it up and go talk to Bellamy herself. She has all these cute flashbacks of all the times that they played together and Bellamy saved her from different things, which I thought was sweet. And she talks about how they used to play this very dangerous sounding game.
Lily pads. It sounds cute, but it's, yeah.
It sounds like the Hot Lava, if you guys ever played Hot Lava. But they're jumping from, like, tables and chairs. I'm like, okay, stay on the ground, like, calm down. That seems like a way to break an ankle, I'm just saying. But he never once said no, and he always let her win. Aww. And she's kind of equating that to now, which, okay, I don't know if that's the best analogy, but I guess it sort of works. But I thought the story that was really, really sweet is when she said that she cut her lip and she was worried people were going to find out that she was there because of the blood, and he cut his own arm open so people wouldn't be suspicious.
That was great thinking.
That was very smart.
Yeah, that was good. It doesn't say how big the cut is before you get, like, mushy, like, you see him, like, in your mind with this big slash. Oh, yeah, it needs a little bit of blood. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting way Octavia went to Monty to ask him to give Bellamy the cues because she didn't want to betray Indra.
Yeah, and I think that she doesn't want to face Bellamy, to be honest with you, because, like, I think she knows that he's got points, too. Like, he has a perspective that she doesn't really want to hear.
And she's putting him and their family relationship above her friends and everyone else, and he didn't do the same. So it's every time she sees him, it's a betrayal of their family.
It's a betrayal, but
he's saving her. Yeah. In some words, he was saying how, I'm saving you again. I'm still your big brother. I'm still saving you. Except now I'm saving you from yourself.
Yeah.
I wrote that one down.
Yeah. No, I definitely did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with him, personally. I agree
she's
with
just
him.
Unchecked, man.
It's not... Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily... It was a betrayal in Octavia's mind, but I really don't think Bellamy, you know, meant it that way. Yeah. He just wanted to save her from herself, which...
And save Clark.
He didn't want her to start a war that's gonna destroy the only, you know, livable habitable place on Earth.
Yeah, but I don't think... I mean, knowing what we know now, McCreary is not going to allow them to live.
But they don't know that. Like, just put Bellamy did it to save the... thing. Like, he doesn't know that perspective of it.
I think it's interesting that everyone's taking and trying to, like, okay, so it's like different cliques, right? There's the Sky Crew, there's the One Crew, there's the Shallow Valley people. I'm gonna just call them are the prisoners, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like all of them had their ways of surviving the 6 years, and now they're trying to enforce their methods. And trying to see who has the best method overall for everyone. Like, for example, Monty had the algae. Mm-hmm. So now he's trying to use that to save them. You know, Octavia had the fighting in the pit. So now she thinks that's the only way to save everyone. And Shallow Valley has McQuarrie. He's just trigger happy. I don't know how to say that one. But, you know, I feel like they need to all come together. All the heads need to come together and figure out what's the best for now the new group.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. It's a very good point.
I think eventually, hopefully, they'll come together, but not if McCreary is leading.
Yeah, I don't know that Dioza's he's going to last. Dioza, yeah, I feel like Dioza might. We'll save that for predictions. But yeah, I got a good feeling about Dioza, honestly.
Yeah, she's good.
But I mean, you never know, Michelle, let's be real. Like, people can be really deceiving, and you never know who's who, really. So Bellamy is not going to fight in this little pit.
Which is expected.
Yeah, I expected he said he's not going to. He says there's no coming back from this, which is true. You kill your own brother, you probably don't recover from that. That kind of rhymes. I think that should be a life motto.
She's like, I'm already dead.
Yeah, you know? Can't say someone who's already dead. I'm like, okay, that's a little emo, but it's fine. And then she slits her wrist in the same place that Bellamy cut his wrist, too, which I think is a little symbolic in a way, and rubs it all over her face, which kind of reminded me of the Grounder makeup, which I thought was interesting. Maybe like a little Indra tribute. I don't know. That's just me thinking, but it could be true. Mm. What did you guys think about that scene? Because that was kind of... It felt like a sort of detour from what the 100 usually does. It was very sort of, like, silent and artsy and intense of her, like, staring into a mirror. Mm. What was your guys' like thoughts while watching that?
I felt like she was trying to see the person that he sees. Mm. And she was trying to connect with him, so... I think she was cutting herself the way that some people cut themselves when they have emotional turmoil. Mm-hmm. And the only way that they cut themselves to let it out.
Yeah.
And then she also cut herself where, as you said, he had cut himself to create more of a connection. Because I don't think she was sure if he'd be able to beat Indra.
Yeah.
Well, her name is Blood Raina. She can't go out with water on her face. You know what I mean? And I think it was the ballet.
Some crayon.
Yeah, some crayon, little star face. It's like, you know, you're called Blood Raina. You got to come out with the blood. Plus, if you guys remember when she first became Blood Raina, you know, one crew, enemy one crew, and she's slashing and dashing, right? She's slashing and dashing. And that was the image she even wore the first time in the pit is because that's the image everyone, you know, basically she became empowered because of that look.
It's very true.
You know what I mean? So I think she was reminding them, this is how we began, and I'm still Blood Raina.
Yeah, good points, guys. Mm-hmm. I think all of those are really valid. So Indra tells Gaia, listen, this is how you're going to kill me after I kill Bellamy. And Gaia's like, no, that's not how this is going to work. Gaia's going to try to go rogue and kill Octavia, which reminded me of when Lexa killed the Ice King's mom instead of Rowan Ice King, which I thought was cool. It was like a little throwback, except for it doesn't work quite as well this time. She misses just barely. I mean, it was a pretty good shot. Close, but
Octavia didn't even flinch. She was just like, ugh.
She was really? We're doing this?
Yeah. And she didn't even get upset.
Yeah. Well, backing up a little bit, though, because I want to talk about right before that fight, because I thought that was an interesting conversation between Gaia, or between Indra and Bellamy. Bellamy's like, well, what happens if we just don't fight? Like, that'll be fine, right? And Indra's like, no, then we'll get executed. And Bellamy's like, well, she's not going to execute her own brother, and she probably won't execute you because, you know, you're like a mother figure. And Indra is like, well, she'll definitely kill Gaia, though.
Gaia gotta go.
The season's all about, like, motherly love, I feel like. Yeah, except for Abby, pregnant. I mean, she's kind of, you know, in her own little world, but
a little drug world.
She doesn't remember she Addiction. Has a kid at this point, you know?
Honestly. But I thought that was really kind of a cool moment too, because Indra does care about Gaia like so much, even though they've had their tension. They're very different people. She obviously definitely has a love for her and is willing to willing to sacrifice herself. So.
I always wondered who she cared for more because Octavia is more like her in her image, and Gaia was like the one she loved, but you know she never really just raised her way. But I guess now she kind of in some ways chose Gaia over Octavia. So. Yeah,
so true.
Blood is thicker than water.
She it loves is. Them both, but differently.
Yeah, for sure. And so Octavia almost gets hit with this staff. Arrow, big, I don't
Spear.
Know. Spear. Yeah. Thank you. Perfect. Love that word. she almost gets hit with it. And she just drops it back in the arena. It's like, I said, be the last. Yeah. It's like, whoa.
I thought she was going to execute everyone. Like, I thought everyone was going to hit the floor and like.
Well, I'm surprised she didn't kind of just execute Gaia. She don't really care about her much. But I know, I guess she knows that would hurt Indra, too. Mm. She cares about Indra.
She wants it to follow the rule, which is you are in the pit. And you fight to the last one.
That's true.
Because she looked at her like, you know the rules.
Yeah.
Hey, don't you think she should build a glass up there?
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Like, where's your glass?
She should build a glass or something. Like,
even hockey games have a glass. Okay.
But Raina is not scared of the pit.
Oh, she's like a chain link fence. Like, what is that going to do for you? Whatever.
Yeah, she definitely should reconsider her seat on throne. It should have a little something right there for real.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a risk, so I'm surprised it hasn't happened before this. Whatever. But, so, they kind of have to fight now. They kind of have no choice. Bellamy and Indra kind of start fighting a little bit, and like you kind of teased earlier, Monty just comes in with this plant in the middle of the arena. I'm like, boy, what are you doing? Like, this is not safe. But he thinks it's going to change the whole world.
He's Gandhi like, now.
He is. Yeah. He's like, I have the plant.
The herbs to save the world.
Everything. Yeah. So, and everyone is pretty hype about that and really quick to turn on Octavia. They're like, no more Blood Raina. We got these plants. We're going to be solid. And yikes. I was scared for Octavia for a second. I'm not going to lie.
I was too. When he came out with a plant and everyone was like, what? No. Sick of you, Blood Raina. I was like, wow. I was shocked that they did that. But I thought it was a really interesting way to sort of move the story forward because, A, it's really reminded us the growth that Monty has, that he's not meek and mild. He just simply does not feel fight is the way to go. As well as the look on Octavia's face, which was like furious. And I know she thought for a moment, I'm just going to shoot all y'all. I'm sick of you people. And then she was like, no. I have another idea.
I'm going to kill you a different
way. Let's talk about that. Everyone's like, oh my God, gosh, where's Octavia? Mm-hmm. She's burning down the whole farm. Why was no one there to protect the farm, Monty? You can't just do this all spontaneously. Yeah. You gotta plan for the stuff like this. Yeah,
they have no security system at all.
I mean, that's true. It's pretty much ridiculous. Him and the plants and Harper. It's like that team.
Well, they killed the plant lady.
Yeah, they did kill the plant. Oh, man. She could have, like, been
She probably would have kept it locked and secure, but y'all felt the need to kill the plant lady, so
All right.
That was a horrible, horrible move, though. Her killing the plant, that was so selfish. You could tell now she's lost herself officially. Mm-hmm. That was the most selfish and stupidest thing. Stupidest. I don't know if it was stupider, the move or that word stupidest. I don't even know if that's a word. But yeah, that was totally idiotic.
Man. It was a bad move, but on the other hand, they wouldn't have gone to war. Everybody was, like, done. They were going to just wait for the commander to come and just, like, probably put her in the pit or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she felt she was against the wall, and she only has her core people to defend her.
Yeah, I thought she would get killed more, though. Because, like, I want to kill you, right?
More.
For lying to me about having food, and then you go and actually destroy the food, that's going to make me more upset.
Seriously.
Not more like, oh, well, all right, girl. All right, let's work together again and get some more food. No, you lied about the food, and then you actually destroy the food, then you're definitely going to die.
Yeah, what
that
the heck?
Is a that's like a good point, right? The rule. They really would have put her in the pit, except they only had 6 days worth of food left. So they're like, kill you, but I want you. Yeah.
At this point, she has to die, though. Like, in the mind of the mob, I would think that at this point, they would think.
Like, how do you come back from that? Like, setting a fire to your entire
food.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Octavia.
That's basically killing. That's a crime because that's enemy of one crew.
Yeah. That really is. She's the enemy of her own crew now.
And how is the enemy of one crew running one crew?
Well, she is one crew.
That's a good question. Whatever. So frustrating. So frustrating.
Still team O?
Oh, dramatically, I was like, okay, this is pretty cool because it's like real dramatic. But I'm like, logically, Octavia, come on, man. Come on.
It was a good photo, though. When she's standing in front of him, she's with like, all the F you all.
Yeah.
You're following me.
And there's a magical fan blowing her hair over so slightly while the flames in the back. You know, I don't know where this freaking fan is coming from.
Well, no. It's like from the flames. Oh, do cause like waves of heat.
Yeah, it's just blowing her ever so lightly with the fan with the flames in the background.
She's like the queen of hell, man. Yeah. Like, what it looks like.
I'm in hell now.
So they're going off to march to fight, and Bellamy's like, Monty, you gotta go. Your family's waiting. So they're all gonna march.
That's so dumb, though.
Well, they did have to have a war, though. It kind of makes sense that this is happening. As like frustrating as it is, like, everything's been building so much to this, it wouldn't really make sense from a story perspective to just, you know, cut it all off and everyone lives happily ever after. Yeah.
But she should definitely be chained, right? She should be chained or something. She shouldn't be
leading. She's leading, though. Punished. But I think that once they meet up with Maddie, that it definitely will end up with a fight with, well, I'm not going to say my premonition.
Yeah, we'll save that for predictions. Which we're almost at. Anything you guys want to talk about before we get into our special segments and everything? We've pretty much covered it all. Yeah, pretty thorough. Cool.
Henry Ian Cusick wasn't in the episode because he was... Oops, never mind. That's going to be my news.
We'll be here. We'll say that role. We'll say it. We'll save it for just a second. First, I want to give a shout out to everyone that commented on YouTube. We had like so many comments. Love hearing from you guys. I didn't have time to respond this week, but I promise I read all of them. I love hearing all of your thoughts. And so our special fans of the week I want to shout out are AutoMe88 and the Queen of Regal, which I can only assume is like a Once Upon a Time reference, which Lana Prilla. Awesome. So, good username. Okay, so let's get into Boss Move of the Week, guys.
Woo, like a boss.
Let's do it. Do we have our sound effect? Like thank you.
There you go.
I was like, we can't do this without the sound effect. All right, Cherry, you want to start?
Indra, she is queen of this episode, telling Octavia she'd kill Bellamy and let Gaia kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a team O on this one for Boss Move of the Week. When she let it burn, that whole plant system, I was like, girl, woo! You're like, I thought that was definitely took some kahunas.
An evil boss move. Yeah. Love it. Like a boss. The one I actually wrote down was the same as yours, Cherries, but I had a backup just in case someone stole mine. I think Gaia trying to kill Octavia was a pretty bold that move. Pretty bold move. Also, Monty calling her a dictator to her face, pretty bold move. That I think those bold, were yeah. pretty it's boss.
Those are good ones. Monty jumping into the pit with the flower. With the flower.
Yeah. With the flower. Armed with greenery. Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think those were all pretty boss. There's lots of boss moves this week.
Don't forget Vincent eating everything.
Oh, that's true.
Let's just keep going chomp. On and on.
It was a scary move of the week.
You're like, I'll take them.
Thank you. Love the constant sound effects. All right, let's get into news now.
Oh, there you go. AfterBuzz TV News.
Cherry, you could hardly wait for yours, so let's hear it.
Well, my first one is this week's episode was directed by our Henry Ian Cusick, Woo! Or as some of you might know him as Kane.
Woo!
Everyone's going to be heading down to San Diego Comic-Con this coming Wednesday and preview night. They'll be showing next week's episode tomorrow night.
Woo! Hot off the press.
Yes. And also, I just read in some article that season 5 of The 100 will hit Netflix on Wednesday, August 15th, like a week after the finale. So you can binge it again and again and again until season 6 comes out. Awesome. All right. Predictions time.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Cherry, you want to start us off again?
Cherry, will you pop
Thank
the
you.
Kitten?
Thank you.
Oh, whoa. We haven't had enough sexual jokes today, wow. So I'm glad you added one in there.
Well, I couldn't help it. Like, she started off pop the joke. Okay, anyways.
Popping champagne. My prediction is that Octavia and Maddie will be meeting in the Shallow Valley, and there will be some sort of fight or something over who's going to be leading everyone. And now that we know McCreary is in charge of the Shallow Valley, they have to move forward on the fight. So I think the next couple of episodes will be them doing maybe guerrilla warfare and then trying to find what's Dioza.
Yep.
I hate to say this. I hate to say this because it's, she brings so much conflict, and I love to hate her, right? But I feel as though Octavia will die. She will die. Yeah, I know. But
I feel like she might too.
I see her storyline ending very soon. Like, I feel like she's gonna die.
Yeah.
Or she's gonna disappear, one and two, but I think most of them die.
It's a hard thing to come back from, for sure.
Help, just go, just keep going.
Okay,
please,
keep
please.
Talking.
I can feel the warmth.
If you're listening, instead of watching, Cherry is giving Sarai the biggest square right now. So, my prediction is them worms, though.
Them worms, though.
I feel like that's gonna... There's no way we just heard that glass break and saw them starting to crawl out for nothing.
And
so I think those worms are going to be back. I don't know. Maybe even they'll tie into like a season 6. Because I know at the end of every season we kind of have a sort of little preview of what's to come. So maybe that will be like a huge thing they have to deal with. I wonder if Dioza will give birth this season.
Ooh.
I don't know.
How long is she?
That's the thing. Is she's a couple months along, but she's like technically 100 years in a couple 100 months.
100 years and 3 months.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, maybe it works the same way as like a 9-month thing.
I think so.
But maybe. I don't know, guys. We'll see. That would be interesting, though. I'm ready to see Dioza be a mom. I think that'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking about that.
Will McQuarrie kidnap the kid?
Yeah, he'd kidnap the baby.
But maybe. What would he do? How would he raise her?
I don't think
her?
They'd have shared custody. I don't think they'd get along that well.
I don't know, man.
That'd be funny if you become like the modern, like the best citizen after he has a daughter. Like he just
so
becomes
upstanding, runs for mayor,
soccer dad,
love it, driving a minivan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hope Raven's back because we didn't see her in this episode either. And I miss my Lindsay Morgan. She's wonderful. She adds a lot to the show. I think so.
She is. She's a delight.
Yeah. So, okay, next week you will have the lovely Sarai hosting because I will be out of town.
I mean, well,
unfortunately,
you're not being there, yeah.
But she's going to drive the ship. She's going to drive this arc, whatever analogy you want to use. Until then, where can everyone find you guys?
Funny Sarai on Instagram and Twitter. And Sarai Comedian is spelled FUNNYSAYRIE.
Awesome.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Cherry_LA.
Great. And you guys can find me on Twitter at Alphabet_Anne, on Instagram at Taylor_Gates_. I also host the Colton Extreme Belief after show every Tuesday at 8, the Younger after show every Wednesday at 10, and Law and Order SVU every Thursday at 8, although we are taking a break this week. But, yeah, follow on all the social medias and make sure to comment on YouTube because, like I said, love hearing your thoughts. Until next time, though, keep it 100.
Like a boss.
Like a boss. One crew.
One crew.
Love ya.
Snowbell.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.